So if I take your Bibles this morning, and if you turn to Luke chapter 15, you know, Billy Graham, most of you, I think you have a good respect for Billy Graham, but he said about fathers, he said, a good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society today. I think that's true. I really do. We need fathers. And this morning I want to talk to you about the prodigal's father. And this parable, you know, it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's what a parable is. And I know some people think all parables are not true, but that's not necessarily true, because it's a story. It's, you know, Jesus Christ, when he was on it, he knew everything. He was God the Father and the Son. In him, he was from the very beginning, and he knew all things, just as his Father together. They are one. And so if he wanted to share a true story, he could. But I don't know whether it's a true story or not. But I know it's a great story. And I know one thing, the Father, we're going to just look at the Father a little bit this morning. And I hope we learn something. Well, I love my dad, and I know you're talking about losing your dad. And 2012, I lost my dad. I miss him very, very much. We talked a lot on the phone. We worked together for 15 years in a business, knee-deep in tomato juice and things like that. So we had a lot to share together, and sometimes it wasn't very pleasant. But I miss my dad. You know, my dad did a lot of things right, and he did some things wrong. But see, my dad, when he was 45, he accepted Christ. He thought he was saved for many years. He went to the Methodist Church. I'm not going to say anything about that. But he went to the Methodist Church, and they're great people. I have two Methodist preachers in my family. Wonderful guys. In fact, I think one of them's still living, still preaching. But I learned a lot from my dad. And from the time he was 45, when he really truly knew the Lord Jesus, to the time he was 85, because he had some dementia after that. He shared Jesus. It became the passion of his life to share Jesus. And he set in a great example for me. And I want to be like my dad. I want to get to heaven, and I want to shake a lot of hands that can say, gee, I think you told me about Jesus. Don't you want to have some friends up there that say, hey, man, I remember you. I wouldn't be here if you wouldn't have shared. They said, oh, I know. Jesus would have got you here. Jesus had a plan for your life. He does. Well, I didn't have vacation. My dad was such a hard, he taught me how to work hard. And I never remembered a whole week vacation. 2 days vacation was long he took. He was a very busy man. But I loved my dad. He taught me how to work hard. He taught me how to love big. And he taught me to trust Jesus. But we tend to take our dads for granted, don't we? You know, I'm concerned about families. Are you concerned about the families that are growing up? You know, when I think about it, if I would be 30 now instead of what I am, I would be really concerned how to raise a family in this society we live in. It's a tough road. So I hope you pray for your children. I've got some sons-in-law. I've got three daughters. But I pray for them to be godly men. I pray that they will lead their family in a time like this. They need all the help, and they need the Lord Jesus for sure. Well, one of the greatest hindrances to children today is the absence of a dad in the home. I looked it up this week, and the 2023 census tells us that one out of four homes in America that have children in them don't have a dad. That's 25%. And I looked that up. That's about at least 8 million homes in America. Children today, don't have a dad. Pray for those kids. They need all your prayers. We have a lot of role models for fathers in the Bible. The Bible tells us the truth, warts and all. and some are better than others. But there's one father found in the parables that is often overlooked as a role model. Take your Bibles, and if you would, turn to Luke 15. And we're going to stand in just a moment, and I'm just going to read a few verses. But we usually talk about a lot about his sons, a very little about him. It's the parable of the prodigal son. And the sons are important to study. But I think there's a lot to learn from this father in this parable. And it's interesting to note that how Jesus begins this story. And in Luke chapter 15, verse 11, it says, a certain man had two sons. You know, I'm not really good at grammar. In fact, Pastor Jim can tell you, when he struggles helping me out with my grammar when he does the overheads. But you know one thing? I think this sentence, when it talks about the father, this is not only this first sentence, but this whole story. The father, it's not the son, but it's the father that is the subject of the story. I think we can learn some valuable lessons from him today. We can learn lessons from father, even fathers that make mistakes. Did you know that? In fact, we hopefully learn from those mistakes. So as this story begins, I have a question for you. Could we say that this father was foresighted? We know that he was forbearing. We know that he was forgiving, if you know the story. He was forgetful, and he was focused. So let's really try to learn something from him here today. First, let's look to see if he was foresighted. Webster says, to be foresighted is to have prudent regard for the future. Now, Luke 15, verse 11. Please stand with me if you're able to stand. We're just going to read these two verses together. Luke 15, verse 11. It says, then Jesus said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them, now that's important, he divided to them his livelihood. To them, he treated them both the same. Any model father should be foresighted by this. He should know what he puts into his child. And at a young age, going to help determine what he becomes and the decisions that his child makes as he grows older. So this means he needs to be an example himself. And he needs to be a moral role model for his children. A good father must teach truth to his children from the crib to the day they leave home and onward. Let's pray together. Father, Lord, I pray for all these fathers that are here today and those that are not here. I pray for all the fathers around this whole world, Lord, especially those that have come to know you. I pray for strength. I pray for wisdom, Lord. I pray for them to be the dads that you've called them to be. And Lord, without you, we as fathers, we really have no power apart from your power in our lives. And so, Lord, we ask you, those that are struggling today, be with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We need to remember here that Jesus was telling this story to the Jews. And they had inherited the Mosaic law, and all its parental responsibilities were made clear. And right before they entered the promised land, Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You should love the Lord God with all of your heart and with all of your mind and all of your soul. And you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. So from this, we know that a good father teaches children the Bible, the Word of God. You know, Jesus said, I am the Word in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, was God, and was with God. But in Micah 5:2, it says, but thou Bethlehem Ephrathah, the prophet Micah said this, thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting to everlasting. That tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ, he's from everlasting to everlasting. He always has been. Almost every father that instills moral values into his children, there will come a time when that child rebels. But every child deserves a father that is foresighted, a father that is concerned for the future of his children in all areas of their life. So the question again, this father's actions right here, is he really thinking of his son's future? His youngest son asks for all his inheritance up front, and he gives it all to him. He gives it to them because he treats each the same. You know, that even that may seem irresponsible and not foresighted, but the prodigal son was really saying, give me my independence. And the father could have done a lot of different things. He could have given him half, and he could have said, well, you know, I'll give you half now, and we'll see how you do, and if you do good with this, then I'll give you the rest. No, he gave it all to him. But then, see, the father would have been going against the Jewish parental laws because the inheritance laws in the Jewish custom, you had to give the oldest son first. So he went ahead and gave them both because to maintain that law. And I think it was in his heart to do that too, to treat them alike. So his view was to obey the moral absolutes that he had taught his sons. He had taught them. You think about that. What would you have done? What would you have done? Well, let's look at the next four qualities that we know the father had. A model father is forbearing. We could say he's restrained. In the end of verse 12, it says, so he divided them his livelihood, and he realized that some sons seem to have to learn the hard way. He could have refused to let the boy go. He could have blackmailed him with the inheritance, and he could have played a guilt game on with him, but he could have, how could you do this to me and your mother? How can you do this? There are times when the model father knows what is best, and he still lets his son go. He could have played the comparison game. Why can't you be like your older brother? Why can't you be even? He's steady. He's working hard. He's out in the field. Why can't you be like him? Stay here and work and be a good boy. Maybe this father was willing to trust, but what he had poured into his son for these years that he had grown up from his childhood. Maybe he believed Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. He'll not turn from it. The promise isn't for the father that just dropped his sons off at church on Sunday mornings for Sunday school and then he left. This promise is for the father that spent a lot of time pouring his life into his sons. The model father isn't just foresighted. He's forbearing. He's restrained himself. He lets the boy become a man. And that's hard to do sometimes. To let go of control and trust your training, that what you've done and God's training in the boy's life and the things that you have led him to and helped him to find out. Have you ever had to trust your kids to God? Have you ever just had to give them to the Lord? I mean, things that happened in your life, usually when they're teenagers, and you just had to trust God with them. Well, the dad let the boy go, and he did send someone of his servants to spy on him. As much as his own heart was breaking, as much as he knew the hard lessons that awaited his son, he let him go. But he never gave up on him. This father just kept being faithful at home, living with a broken heart, and he never gave up. The boy left to be free. But in trying to be free, he became a slave to those things he thought would give him independence. See, our young people, there's some here this morning, you need to learn a lesson here. You want your freedom so bad from mom and dad, but when you who are fortunate enough to have a godly parents, and you take yourself out from the umbrella of God's protection, the authority that God has put over you as a young person, and you risk losing your real freedom and becoming a slave to your own lust. Look at verse 17. It says, don't you love what this says here? It says, but when he came to himself, when he came to himself, right there, all those hundreds of hours of pouring the father's life into this son paid off. The boy had been taught better. He knew better. So he heads home, hoping to become his father's hired hand. Can't you see this father? He's on the porch in the evenings, and he's looking out over the horizon. He's got this huge farm somewhere, and he's watching the sunset, and he knows the direction that his son left, and he's looking out, and he wants to see, as the sun goes down, is there an image of that boy walking across the field home? When he's working in the fields with the workers and those that he had hired to work in the crops, and he keeps an eye on that direction where his son had left. Look at verse 20. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. He never gave up. We see in that same verse that the father was a forgiving father. He ran and fell on his neck and he kissed him. He was a forgiving father. The boy was a long way off, and the father began to run. The boy may have been walking, but the father was running. The boy had rehearsed his speech in verses 15 through 18, if you look. But he never got time to give that speech because the father was overloaded with forgiveness. As the boy got closer and closer, the forgiveness poured out of that father. He wanted that son to come home so bad, he was forgiving him. He didn't care about the money. He didn't care about what had happened. Would you be the one running to forgive your son? He didn't say, how could you have done this to your mother and I? How could you have done this? There was no, where have you been all of this time? Where have you been? There wasn't even the question, what have you done with all that money that I worked so hard for and I just gave it to you a short time ago? Where is it? He didn't say any of that. There wasn't an "I told you so." I hope you're happy now. He only warmly welcomed his son home. This is the dad of compassion. The word compassion comes from the Latin words which mean to suffer with. Dad, have you ever suffered with your son or your daughter? Have you ever really suffered with them? He knew by looking at his son what pain he had been through. He knew what was on his son's heart. The boy had come home only hoping to be one of his father's servants. And the dad restored his son. And you know what that's the heart of God this morning. God waits for some of you here today that have drifted away from him. And God's heart is for you to come home. He wants to restore you. and he wants to welcome you home. I think every child needs a foresighted and forbearing father, but more than that, he or she needs a forgiving father. It's one thing to forgive, but it's another to forget. A good father knows when to forget. A good father is forgetful at times. Look at verse 22. The father said, "Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and kill the fatted calf. This my son, who was lost, now was found." A good father never holds a grudge. He forgives and he tries to forget. He makes a way for his child to have a new beginning. He could have said, "Welcome home, son. I forgive you, but..." There could have been a lot of buts there. "But you're going to have to prove yourself now. You're going to have to show me you're worth loving again." How many of us have been raised where we had to perform in order to be loved? Sad to say, but around my house, performance was a big deal. I knew when I did everything right, Mom and Dad were happy. And I knew when I did everything wrong, they weren't too happy. And that's true in some. There's nothing wrong with that in a way. But you don't want your children to have the thing that they have to perform. They have to be. They have to do this. They have to be this for you to love them. And saying a good father forgets, I don't want you to think that there shouldn't be guidance for sons and daughters that have gone astray, and then they come home. You have to remember this prodigal came home with a spirit of repentance. Well, what's the difference? Well, we see here in this story that the boy truly repented. He truly wanted his father to forgive him. Verse 17 says, he came to himself. He didn't try to blame his parents or his brothers or anyone else. He took responsibility for his own sin and his own bad choices. And you could say he owned his stuff. Around my house, that's something, it's important. You got to own your stuff. When you know you've done wrong, it's time to let people know you've done wrong, especially in a family. "I've done you wrong, and I'm sorry, I know." Verse 18, he says, "I will rise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" He knew his father had a right to be displeased with his behavior. And he said in verse 19, "And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." Verse 20, "Then he arose and came to his father." And repentance involves changes. And it involves changes of the heart. And it starts with a changed attitude towards sin, which helps change affections, which results in changed actions. And we see this is the boy's changed heart, his repentance. First, he changed his mind, then his attitude. And he came to himself, and his will changed, and his direction changed, and his affections changed. And he said, "I will rise and go to my father." And all this led to a change in action. And he arose and he went home. And here was a dad who could not simply forgive, but he also made every effort to forget because his son had come home truly repentant. And a repentant heart. You know, I had some visitors this weekend. And when these little kids come, when children come and they truly are sorry for hitting their brother, or something like that, you have to forgive them, don't you? Doesn't your heart just melt when your grandkids come up to you? "Granddad, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that." To see one of your grandchildren, to see one of your children repent, it's a good thing. Finally, a good father is a focused father. Look at verse 28 and verse 29. "But he was angry and would not go in." That's the older brother. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him, the older brother. So he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years I've been serving you, Dad, for years and years, and I never transgressed one of your commandments. All your commands I've always done. And yet you never gave to me a young goat that might make merry with my friends. Now the good father is focused. What I mean is that he had his priorities in order to keep his life in proper perspective. And look at verse 29. It says, the sulking older brother is complaining about never having been given a young goat to party and have a feast with his friends. Just think about this. Verse 23 says, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. We're talking about a fatted calf. But the older brother is complaining about never having his own goat. At a time like this, it was sheer folly for him to complain about a goat. You know, I've eaten goat. If it's cooked right, it's good. But he had lost all sense of perspective. He was truly self-centered. He didn't care about his brother at all. His brother that had been lost. What a blessing it was for these two boys to have a father that was focused on the important things in life. The party is really going now, and all the joy of the son coming home is being celebrated. But where is Dad? Where's Dad? He's out with the oldest son. He's concerned about his oldest boy. He wants to get him focused in the right direction. He wants him to have the proper perspective about the situation. The father wants to make sure the older brother knows that he loves him just as much as the younger son, and he will always be there for him, just like he's there. You remember the story, we studied Joseph not long ago. Remember chapter 37 in Genesis? Joseph in Egypt. Joseph's father, Jacob, loved Joseph more than the other sons. What happened? They sold him into slavery. They almost killed him. He was put in jail for 13 years. It caused Joseph's brothers to sell him in slavery, but he tells him, all I have is yours. He tells the older brother, the father does, all I have is yours. And he's keeping the focus on the fact that it is right to have a party for his younger brother who was lost and gone astray in the wrong way, and now he's home. He's found his way back home. See, the truth is, life goes on, and so should we. It would be nice if we knew just how all of this ends, but we don't. The Holy Spirit just ends the story without us knowing what happened. Did the older brother go into the party? I don't know. You don't know. Maybe the Lord left us to finish this story for you, Dad, this morning. To finish the story for yourself and for your family. This story is a beautiful picture of a good father. But the real picture here in this story is of our own Heavenly Father. He is foresighted, so much so that he knew our weakness. God knows our sins. He knows every part of us. And he still loved us enough to go to the cross for us and to sacrifice his son for you and me. See, we needed a perfect sacrifice because we could never make peace with God ourselves. Without his help. He knew we needed Jesus. He not only gave us the Word of God to live by and a guide for us and our children, but he gave us the gift of his Son hanging on a cross for your sins and mine so we could become part of his heavenly family. Like the model family in Jesus' story, our Heavenly Father is also forbearing. He lets us go, and we're not robots, we're people. We're not puppets. And the special love and the relationship we have with our Heavenly Father is so very valuable to Him. He paid the greatest price for us to be in communion with Him and in fellowship with Him. He never gave up on us, just like this Father. He didn't give up on His Son. He's a forgiving, forgetful of our wrong choices, of our sin. In Jeremiah 31, 34, He said, "I will forgive your iniquity and I will remember it, your sin, no more." Aren't you glad God will do that for you? Our Heavenly Father is focused. Everything about us, He has in proper perspective. Don't you think it's time that for us to complete this story on this Father's Day morning? If you decide to come home, just like the prodigal son did, he came home and he found a loving, forgiving, focused Father. If you make the same decision this morning, you will find Him just like the prodigal son found his father, with arms open wide, running to meet you, forgiving arms, an open embrace, a new beginning.